From the land of Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 8th day of May, 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. And later in this half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostard. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Dave Dickey, of course, will be along in all the agricultural news stories for the day. And I'll tell you about a plant breeder educated right here on the University of Illinois campus that is changing the face of famine in Africa. And it all comes up in this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus at the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Chicago Board of Trade on this Friday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby May wheat at 580.5, up 21.5 cents today. July futures at $5.91, up 20.75, and September contract at $6.17.25, up 20.25. May corn futures 414, a settlement price up 9.25. July at 421, 9 cents higher. September at 429.5, up 9. And December at 439.75, 8.75 higher. March contract 450.5, up 7.75. May soybean futures $11.34, 15 cents higher. July at 11.11.5, up 9.5, and the August at 10.73.5, 10.5 cents higher. September futures 10.21.5, up 7.5 cents. November beans 9.79.5, up 7.5 cents. May bean meal at 359.50, 80 cents higher. July down 20 at 341.50. May oil at 39.30, up 83. And the July soybean oil, 39.61, 83 cents higher. Live cattle futures, June contract, 82.97.5, up 95 cents for the day. August live cattle at 83.60, $1.07.5 higher. And the May feeder cattle at $99.35, up $1.15 a hundredweight. August contract at $100.70, $1.62.5 higher. May futures into lean hog, 61.12.5, $1.92.5 higher. June contract there at $68.20, up $1.42.5. Near the bottom of the hour, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. And you'll want to be with us as we'll talk with the folks from NOAA's Midwestern Regional Climate Center. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from the U of I campus in Urbana-Champaign. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. June crude oil futures, $57.85 a barrel, $1.14 higher. A July contract at $59.40, up $1.38. June ethanol at $1.67.5, 2 2/10 higher. Natural gas June contract 24 7/10 higher at $4.32.8. And June RBOB gasoline at $1.69.9, up 3 4/10. The heating oil June contract 2 8/10 higher. This is diesel fuel at $1.51 3/10 a gallon. And the June propane future 68.5 cents, up just about 6 tenths of a cent. Gold futures May contract down 60 cents at 914.40. The Dow at 85.82 is up 172 points. And the U.S. dollar currently trading at 82.52 is down 1.28 for the day. The CRB index currently stands at 242.37. That's up 2.84 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. From our own Mike Sola, he says tonight across to the two-state area, mostly cloudy, showers and thunderstorms, most likely in the northern and central sections. Lows will be from 47 in northern Illinois to 62 in the southern part of Indiana. Tomorrow in the far south and in northeastern Indiana, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers, a few thunderstorms. Elsewhere, partly to mostly sunny. Highs tomorrow will generally range from 60 in northern Illinois to 73 in the southeastern parts of Indiana, although it will be cooler along and near Lake Michigan. The extended forecast says frequent storm systems will continue to bring above-average rainfall to much of Illinois and Indiana over the next 2 weeks. There will be a narrow window of dry weather this weekend and early next week, but storms will return on Tuesday of next week, and most fields will continue to be too wet for field work or planting.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural futures markets with a bit of analysis from Mike Zuzulo. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's just wet here, and it seems like it's going to stay that way, and you're in the same boat up there.
We are, and we've gotten a lot more stories from clients and producers around the Central Corn Belt and Eastern Corn Belt that guys that got in the fields are looking at replant, and had a real good farmer down in near Owensboro, Kentucky. Known him for many, many years, and well-tiled soils. He was working some lighter ground closer to the streams, closer to the, you know, inlets and rivers, and that he farms near. And he's talking about as much as 50% of the corn that he planted. He got in about 350 acres earlier this week and last week, and he did some driving around. Looks like we're going to see a lot of replant, and I'm hearing from some of the branches we're going to see some over in the Western Corn Belt in Iowa as well. So it's going to be a really tricky year this year when it comes to the national yield, that's for sure.
Well, on his ground, probably because it has nitrogen and herbicide, I'm sure he'll put it back into corn.
That's right.
But there is other ground in the deeper part of southern Illinois and the parts of the Eastern Corn Belt that I would think that there are a lot of farmers have to be considering whether they should make a switch to soybeans or not. If you read yet the article, maybe not, that Emerson Nafziger, agronomist here on campus, penned for yesterday's bulletin. You just search University of Illinois and bulletin in Google and you can find it. And he kind of laid out the numbers as to when it made economic sense as well as made agronomic sense to make a change from one crop to the other. In the southern third of Illinois, and I would guess he probably, we usually divide that around Effingham.
Right.
About the 15th of May, the second half of the month, the switch to soybeans seems to make a lot of sense. They don't make much more on corn than they do on soybeans per acre down there anyway on gross profit. And then all the way through the end of May, he says stick with corn. If you're in the upper two-thirds of Illinois, and I would suppose that means a good portion of the Midwest anyway. So what are your thoughts there?
I think that's all absolutely right from the client conversations we had. Chuck and I talked about it this morning, and like you said, Sherman down in Hudsonville, he can go till the end of May, 1st of June, doesn't want to but can. But it's like Chuck said, and I asked him about this, about the chemicals, you know, where is the line in the sand if you haven't put chemicals and applied them down in the nitrogen? And he said, well, if I can go to beans next week, I will, and if I can keep going to beans and keep planting beans, I will on the ground that I don't have chemicals and don't have fertilizer down. So I think the need by the producer at this point, especially after next Wednesday, next Thursday, when the real big system comes through, if that guy comes through as advertised by some of these models, and these guys can get back in the planters and get beans at least put in the ground, even if it's with wet feet that they come out, they're going to do it, and I think that's where next week's rain really probably switches the acreage mix quite dramatically. And, you know, that's one thing that Informa brought out, and we tried to bring out in our estimates with the news wires, is we jumped up over 2.5 million acres from the March estimates and March USDA report numbers. Even though they don't come out with new numbers until June in their survey, we wanted to get ahead of it, and Informa did the same thing. We're only about 200,000 acres different on the, you know, acreage number for 2010 beans, and that puts you in a pretty tough spot if you get that big of an acreage number, because all of a sudden you're talking about record tight stocks or near record tight stocks in South America and the United States, but then you're talking about enough increase in acres for new crop that you could be back to building up to 450 to 525 million bushel carryover by this fall. So it makes it very difficult for the producers to know which to do right now, and we just always go back to profit, like you and I have been talking about the last few weeks in a row.
Right. Just for clarification's sake, and Chuck, I think you're probably correct. He's thinking that he will switch to bean. He's in an area there, that part of eastern Indiana, western Illinois, that really does soybeans. I was talking to my brothers over the weekend, and of course, they were hunting and sniffing around for dry ground that they could put beans on.
Right.
But that was because they had about a third of their corn crop in, and they just had simply run out of fields that they could put corn in. They were just too wet.
That's right.
At this point. So I'm thinking Chuck's actually making the switch and not just hunting up fields that he can put soybeans in, and because he's got all the corn in that he can plant, and everything else that would go into corn would be wet anyway. Is that right?
Actually, he's just like your brothers. He's at a point where he's gotten the corn in that he can on the lighter, sandier
okay.
soils, and now he's just looking to plant. You know, it's starting to get crunch time for him mentally, and I think that's what we're going to have to watch and see because, again, you start planting corn in these kind of conditions, and some guys are going to push it in, but you might as well throw out the idea. And unless you have a year like last year that you're going to get over a 150 national yield, but yet Chicago probably won't realize that.
Yeah, so as Darrell Good told me earlier last week, you have to have a perfect July to make it all work.
And perfect September, too, because, you know, that early freeze does come in when you get these kind of late dates. I mean, it's astounding to realize that last year we jumped from 28% in Illinois up to 60% coming into this coming Monday, and in Indiana we jumped from 36% up to 61. Well, we were at 28 and 36 last year. We're only at 5 in each of these states here. So I just don't think it's really hit home to the people in Chicago because all they see are those great big Kinsey planters and great big planters and how fast we can go. So I suspect if this system comes through as advertised on Wednesday, there's going to be quite a bit of jockeying for some cash corn.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. And just to I think Chuck and my brothers are in two different boats. Chuck's going to switch. My brothers were just looking for ground that was dry that they could run a planter over.
That's what he was, too.
And that was going to be bean ground, not corn ground, to begin with. So
they
weren't switching.
Saying.
They were just looking for bean ground.
Right. They're in the same boat. But what Chuck said was, he goes, if I have some corn ground that, you know, that potentially could go to beans and I can still run a bean planter through it, he goes, I'm going to go ahead and do it at this point.
Yeah.
So that's the trade-off here.
Well, next week will be interesting, and then the week after that, more interesting, I suppose. And all in all, are you expecting your producers to protect themselves in some form?
Yeah, I really do. I think we've picked up and ratcheted up a notch with the producers. They realize the profitability in the beans right now, and we're getting pretty high in terms of bean prices. Interesting, because Brazil had some newswire stories out about how the Chinese have kind of backed off their purchases down there, looking for something around $340, $350 a ton to buy beans at. Well, both us and Brazil are running close to $430 a ton right now. So China's pulled back their horns in terms of buying, and that really did hit the bean market this week. I suspect it'll continue to hit next week. But, you know, really the pre-report positioning is going to continue Monday, and then if we do get an idea that after the report numbers come out on Tuesday that bean acres are getting bigger, I suspect that November bean will start to lose to the December corn. That's kind of the thing we're watching out for the most.
And tell me more about the Informa numbers.
Well, their numbers on corn were down there in terms of coming in about 2 million or underneath us, and they came in at 83.9, which is down about 1 million from the March numbers for USDA. Not quite sure a lot of reason why they think that. I know they're from what I heard from some of the guys in Chicago, they do believe the Eastern Corn Belt's going to see a lot more bean acres just to go into beans, not necessarily switching from corn to beans for any other reason except they're adding bean acres. So I'm not sure why they took some corn acres off the table. We're a little bit higher than that. In fact, we're 2 million acres higher than that.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go?
Well, we'll have to watch the dollar. It really broke hard again. And if there's one thing that can really change the schematic of the beans selling off next week on negative fundamentals, it's that the dollar keeps going lower and China sees us as a better source for beans than the Brazilians. So that's something we just have to watch for.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
Hey, you too. That's Mike Zuzulo. He's with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Friday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Dave Dickey is here now to take us through the Ag News for the afternoon.
In agricultural news, President Barack Obama's fiscal year 2010 budget proposal seeks to phase out direct payments over 3 years to farmers with $500,000 in sales revenue annually. The budget also proposes a $250,000 cap on payments. The president's plan also calls for reducing premium subsidies and underwriting gains for crop insurance, as well as would eliminate payments for cotton storage. The budget proposal would provide more than $20 billion in loans and grants to boost funding for rural development projects, including investments in renewable energy and broadband internet access. USDA Secretary Tom Vilsack told a Senate Appropriations Subcommittee yesterday that USDA is looking at ways to assist the U.S. pork industry, which has been battered by import bans prompted by H1N1 virus fears. Vilsack did not go into details on what type of aid the industry might receive or when it would occur. In a letter to USDA earlier this week, the National Pork Producers Council suggested USDA buy $50 million in pork products for donation to food pantries and hunger relief to bolster hog prices. Mexican health, agriculture, and sanitation authorities have cleared a pig farm operated by Smithfield Foods in the state of Veracruz for any wrongdoing or link to the H1N1 outbreak. A joint report based on the inspections made by Mexico's Sanitation Agency, the Agriculture Ministry, and the Organization for Animal Health and Safety also said that further investigations in private farms had revealed no signs of the disease. Smithfield has denied any existence of evidence linking the current outbreak of the new strain of influenza AH1N1 to its herds or employees. Potash Corporation of Saskatchewan expects the global supply of potash fertilizer to be tight for the next 5 to 10 years, despite a massive planned increase in production capacity. Potash Corporation is spending $6 billion on expansion and upgrading projects in the Canadian provinces of Saskatchewan and New Brunswick. Meanwhile, Potash President and CEO Bill Doyle says, quote, fertilizer customers have been slow to return to the table, but they cannot defer purchases indefinitely. Many major markets are showing signs of having destocked their inventories and must rebuild their supplies. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you to visit our website. The address is willag.org. Both of those programs are there for you to listen to in their entirety anytime you'd like to, or have them delivered to your computer automatically. Sign up for the podcast. While you're at willag.org, you might look over on the right-hand side of the page and sign up for our weekend newsletter. I know you're busy at this planting season, so if you can't hear us on the radio, happen to miss the broadcast, or you can't get back in and, well, stay awake long enough to check out the podcast or the MP3 files on the website, and I'd rather have you getting sleep than listening to me, so get that full night's sleep, how about this? Dial this number, 217-333-3434 at 9:15 just after the opens, and at 3:15 after the close, we update that voicemail box with some numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade and a bit of analysis. We call it our mobile analyst portal. The number is 217-333-3434. Now up next, you know, a plant breeder educated right here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois is changing the face of famine in Africa. I'll have more on the international career of Dr. B.B. Singh. On an early weekday morning, Dr. B.B. Singh is teaching on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Well, he sat in classrooms here in the early 1960s.
And I came to University of Illinois in 1963 as a 19-year-old young boy, registered for master's, did my PhD, then went back to India and started work on...
That's when the native of India started down the path to become an internationally renowned plant breeder. Before coming to the United States, he finished his bachelor's at the school this alma mater helped to build in his home country, Pantnagar. It is the seat of the Green Revolution.
And University of Illinois has made a major contribution for Indian Green Revolution by setting up the Agriculture University and starting the training program, education program, and so on. So University of Illinois should get credit for the major Green Revolution.
The University of Illinois was there in the beginning, and so was B.B. Singh. He saw what a plant breeder like Norman Borlaug could do, and then, as he tells the story, spent a career battling to recreate the Green Revolution for Africa.
As a breeder, it is not enough to produce a variety and release it and publish a paper, but to see it being grown by the farmers, and that gave me an opportunity. And we started that project, and from 11 farmers, when I retired, we had some 11,000 farmers working on it, and now the project has gone. And cowpea, when I joined Nigeria in 1981, 500,000 tons they were producing. Now they're producing 3.5 million tons, and most of it happened after I went on farm.
Norman Borlaug fed India with a new high-yielding variety of wheat. Hank Beachel found a high-yielding variety of rice for Asia. And B.B. Singh has managed to fold their successes into something totally unique for Africa, a continent left behind in the Green Revolution for 50 years. The cowpea, or the black-eyed pea, is not a major crop like wheat or rice. It is, however, a crop humans consume directly, and one that can provide nutrition, economic stimulus, and even the means, says B.B. Singh, for education. Satisfy the hunger of humankind, and peace, if not prosperity, will come. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Mike Morris in McHenry at 815-344-7213. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural cash grain markets. On the line with us today is Bruce Bostert. He's with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
It's rainy here. You get rainfall there, too, I assume.
Yes. More of the same.
More of the same. Have farmers been coaxed to move any grain or oil seeds while they're waiting to run the planters?
We have been seeing people delivering grain. We've been seeing sales made, good scale-up sellers. We have hit the $4 magic number at most of our locations, and that's seen some pretty good cash movement, both old crop and new crop, probably heavier in the old. There's been a lot of old crop corn out here that's been waiting to move, and people have been using this opportunity to sell some.
And you think that's the right thing to do?
On old corn,
right.
I suppose so. I mean, it's there. It's old. It needs to be moved for quality concerns at some point in here, too. You know, it's a lot easier to sell the old crop that's in the bin than new crop that's sitting in the bag.
Mm-hmm. And are they just holding on and not doing anything with their new crop at all?
Very little. We're seeing some new crop move, but it's, you know, the first or second sale. People figuring that, well, I'll get something planted.
Commercials getting a little nervous about planting delays?
Yes. I mean, you're sitting here trying to look at your space budget and where we are in the forecast for the next 7 to 10 days. It looks like more of the same with rain coming through every 3 days.
And your bids for the day?
We are at 407 on nearby and beans at 1111.
Thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostert is with the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. He joins us here in the Closing Market Report. That happens on Friday afternoons. We'll return in just a couple of minutes when we'll talk with the folks at the Midwestern Regional Climate Center.
WILL is a member-supported service of the College of Media at Illinois.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. University of Illinois trustee Larry Epley says the reputations of two former governors should not impact the work of honest public servants. A proposal from Illinois House Speaker Mike Madigan to fire all appointments made to boards by George Ryan or Rob Blagojevich would extend to U of I trustees. Epley says he'll reserve judgment on the bill as a whole, but says this could reflect poorly on those trustees who are dedicated to the university and its mission. The former trustee's chairman says appointees' names shouldn't be tied to the governor who appointed them. The city of Urbana doesn't expect to lose any staff or make other cuts in its proposed budget for the next fiscal year. City Comptroller Ron Eldridge credits sales tax revenue from developments like the new Meijer store, but he admits the shaky economy could mean problems by a year from now, noting costs are projected to exceed revenues by then. That's also when Urbana has to renegotiate contracts with its police, fire, and AFSCME unions. The city will vote on the $48 million plan on June 1st. Health officials say swine flu has spread into southern Illinois with a single confirmed case in Franklin County. The state's Department of Public Health reported the case today among the total of 393 confirmed cases statewide. Only one Illinois case is called probable, meaning it has to be confirmed by additional testing. And Indiana's State Department of Health has confirmed 8 more cases of swine flu, increasing that state's total to 36. Drew Peterson will have to wait more than a week to answer allegations he drowned his third wife in a bathtub. A judge today continued the former police sergeant's arraignment to May 18th because neither of Peterson's attorneys were at the hearing. Peterson was charged with murder yesterday in the 2004 death of Kathleen Savio. He's also a suspect in the 2007 disappearance of his fourth wife, Stacy, and has denied wrongdoing. Attorneys for former Governor Rob Blagojevich have agreed to accept $110 an hour to represent him. That's far below the rate some of them usually charge, and in return, they'll get court permission to tap into Blagojevich's $2.3 million campaign fund. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. Steve Hilberg, the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, is with us this afternoon. It belongs to NOAA and is located at the Illinois State Water Survey right here on the U of I campus. Good afternoon to you, Steve.
Good afternoon, Todd.
It's been wet, and I think I saw a press release from the survey that said April was the sixth wettest on record. That surprised me that it might not be a little bit wetter than that, but it's a very wet month in the first place, and it looks like we're going to stay that way.
Well, yeah, at least in the near term, but I think things are looking a little bit better than, let's say, maybe this time last week. We did have a little bit of a break this week in that some of the rain that we thought might occur early in the week really didn't materialize very much, and we kept most of the week dry, but then this little mesoscale complex that's now rolling through southern Illinois and Indiana really did drop some heavy rain overnight and today. In fact, radar estimated totals are topping 3 and 4 inches in some areas in Madison County, Illinois, and up near Christian and Moultrie counties. And, of course, south of there, where they've had the heavier rain, there's flood watches out and flood warnings out for many counties in Missouri, southern Illinois, into Kentucky. But most of this rain the last 24 hours has been over only the southern half of Illinois. There were some showers up north yesterday, but basically south of Bloomington, there really wasn't a whole lot of rain. That's where all the rain was. There wasn't much north of Bloomington, and much of the other part, western half of the Midwest has been fairly dry so far in May. So it's really pretty localized at this point.
Would they be able to get in the field maybe tomorrow, the next day? Is there rainfall in their forecast then or not?
Where
Northern Illinois.
Northern Illinois?
Yeah, from Bloomington north.
No, actually, I think with the system moving through, I think Northern Illinois will get a good shot at it this weekend. The really next serious chance for rain looks to be maybe the middle of next week. Another strong cold front will come through, probably with a somewhat of a line or squall line of thunderstorms. But after that, it looks dry as well. So there is some hint in the models of possibility some scattered showers later Sunday into Monday. I'm not entirely buying that yet, but I think Northern Illinois will get a shot. And I did see some equipment out in the fields yesterday. I was coming back from Ann Arbor, Michigan, and saw some out in Northern Illinois. So with some sunshine, which we'll probably even get here this afternoon, and some windy weather the next 48 hours, I think things will be drying out a bit.
And then from here south over the weekend, are they going to have rainfall or not?
Well, this front will push through, and probably by this time tomorrow, most of Illinois and Indiana will be free of rain. There'll still be some lingering rain in Ohio and Kentucky, and then that'll push out during the weekend, and they should stay pretty dry after that until this next front comes through to the east of here, probably later Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay, thanks much.
All right, Todd.
That's Steve Hilberg. He's the director of the Midwestern Regional Climate Center. It's located at the Illinois State Water Survey right here on the University of Illinois campus and belongs, of course, to the National Oceanic Atmospheric Association, or NOAA. And he joins us each and every Friday right here On the Closing Mark Report, you have a great weekend. Stay dry, get some field work done, and if you're out there, don't stay too long, or at least take a nap from time to time, and we want to keep you fresh in that field. I'm Todd Gleason.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.